I'm starting this afternoon a series of sermons in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians, this letter. I have no idea how long this series is going to be. As you know, I don't like to rush through these letters. I like to take my time looking at each phrase because it is important we do this. God, the Holy Spirit, moved the Apostle Paul to write this letter. This is the Word of God. God Himself, as it were, inspired each word. And we must therefore make sure that we understand what the Bible is saying. So starting this afternoon, every Sunday afternoon, we will be looking at Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. This afternoon, I'm not going to begin by looking at chapter 1 and looking at the actual text, but I'm going to do an introduction to this letter. And what I want to do is to ask a simple question: why should we study 1 Thessalonians? This letter was written 2,000 years ago. It was written in the Greek language. It was written by a man who was on a missionary journey. And it was written to a church that today doesn't exist. Why should we, 2,000 years later, take this letter that the vast majority of the world has never heard of? Why should we take this letter and study it? That is what I want to do this afternoon. I want to explain to you why we need to study 1 Thessalonians. Let me just very briefly first give you the historical background, and then we will look at the reasons why we must study it. The Apostle Paul, the book of Acts tells us, undertook 3 missionary journeys. Those 3 missionary journeys are recorded for us in the book of Acts. In chapters 13 and 14, you have his first missionary journey. And then from 15 onwards to 18, you have his second missionary journey. And then in chapters 19 and 20, you have his third missionary journey. Now, during his second missionary journey, the Apostle Paul visited what is today Greece and Macedonia. And he visited various cities in what is today Greece and Macedonia. We read in Acts chapter 17 about his visit to Thessalonica. Thessalonica was one of the larger cities of that region. And it was Paul's strategy to visit the larger cities and to plant a church there. So Paul and Silas and Timothy made their way to Thessalonica. Actually, there were 4 of them because Luke was with them as well. These 4 men, Paul, Silas, Timothy and Luke, made their way to this city of Thessalonica. And we read what happened in that city. We read about how Paul, for 3 Sabbath days, reasoned with the Jews in their synagogue. And we saw how he proclaimed and proved to them that the Christ must suffer and must die. And we read in Acts 17 that a number of people in the city of Thessalonica believed. A church came into existence. And there were men and women who were associated with that synagogue, and they became Christians. They put their faith in Christ. They were baptized and they became members of this church. But we read in Acts 17 that the Jews of that city were moved by jealousy. And they started trouble for Paul. They went to the government authorities. And they said to the government authorities, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here as well." What a lovely testimony to the power of the gospel. These men have turned the world upside down. Wherever they've gone, huge changes have taken place. Any city that they've gone to, huge changes have taken place. Because this is what the gospel does. The gospel changes people. The gospel changes lives. And the gospel changes communities and society. If a person claims to be a believer and there's no change in that person, the Bible says that person is not saved. The gospel brings changes. And so the city authorities were worried about this, and they asked Paul and Silas and Timothy to leave. And so they leave the city, and they make their way down the Greek coast. They go on to Berea, and then to Athens, and then to Corinth. And when they were in Corinth, news came from Thessalonica of the church. And they received news about how the believers were, and how they were getting on, and what issues they were facing. So Paul receives this report while he's in Athens and in Corinth. He receives this report about Thessalonica and how these believers were getting on and what issues they were facing. And he decides to write a letter to encourage them and to deal with the issues that they were facing. This is one of those pastoral letters where there are pastoral issues in a local church. And Paul takes up these pastoral issues and deals with them. This is what 1 Thessalonians is about. Now, let's come back then to the question that I'm asking this afternoon. Why should we study 1 Thessalonians? I have four reasons for you why we need to study this letter. Four reasons. The first reason is this. This letter teaches us what a Christian is. This letter teaches us what a Christian is. There is teaching in the New Testament, and we as Christians need to be aware of this teaching because it is of fundamental and eternal importance. And the teaching of the New Testament is this, that there are some people who profess to be born-again believers, who believe themselves to be born-again believers, but who actually are not born-again believers. That is New Testament teaching. The New Testament makes it completely clear that there are people in this world who are absolutely convinced that they are really born-again, that they are saved through faith in Jesus Christ, that they're the children of God, and that they're now in the kingdom of God. They're absolutely convinced of it. They're not trying to deceive themselves, and they're not trying to deceive others. They're sincere in these convictions. They're absolutely convinced of this, that they really are born again Christians. And the New Testament says there are several people like this who actually are not. They have been deceived, and they're not born again. I'm going to put up on the screen some words that the Lord Jesus spoke. These are perhaps the most frightening words Jesus has ever spoken. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." On that day, he's speaking about the day of judgment. On that day, many will say to me, please note, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you." Not that I knew you at one time and then you fell away. Please note that. He's not saying there was a time when I knew you, but then you fell away. I never knew you. There never was a time when I knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now think about these people. They go through their lives here on earth absolutely convinced they're believers. There's not a doubt in their mind. It's not the case that they really know they're not believers, but they're trying to deceive others. This is not the kind of people we're talking about here. We're talking about people here who are absolutely convinced they're believers. And on the day of judgment, they're very confident. You don't notice any hesitation here. You don't notice any kind of uncertainty here. They're very confident. They're absolutely convinced that the moment they go up to Jesus and speak to Jesus, he will say, "Well, of course I know you so well." They're absolutely convinced of this. And so they go to him and they say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And to their astonishment, and I think this is the point when their greatest shock will come, when Jesus says, I have some very bad news for you. I know that you were convinced you were saved. I know that you really sincerely believed you were saved. But actually, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Now, this being the case, we need to make sure we really are believers. We need to make sure we really are born again. The Bible says, Paul writing to the Corinthians, examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5. Examine yourselves to make sure you're in the faith. The Apostle Peter says, make your calling and election sure. Because it is possible to be deceived. It is possible to believe I really am saved, and all the time we're actually deceived. This is why 1 Thessalonians is so important, because 1 Thessalonians is one of those letters where you have the marks of a Christian clearly laid out. There are books in the Bible, passages in the Bible, where the marks of a believer are clearly laid out so that we may examine ourselves. And 1 Thessalonians, especially chapter 1, is one of those passages where the marks of a Christian are clearly laid out. We will be studying chapter 1 at some depth, and we will be looking at the marks of a Christian. What really is a Christian? That's the first reason why we need to study 1 Thessalonians. It is for our eternal good. The second reason why we need to study 1 Thessalonians is that this letter teaches us how to live the Christian life. This letter teaches us how to live the Christian life. It's like every other letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. There are instructions for Christians. Now, if you read Paul's letters, you will know that he doesn't have a template so that he says the same thing to every church to whom he writes. The instructions to the Romans on how to live the Christian life are different to the instructions he gives to the Corinthians. And they are different to the instructions he gives to the Galatians, to the Ephesians. Because each church has its own challenges. Each church has areas where they need instructing. And the church in Thessalonica, young Christians, they'd only been Christians a few months when this letter was written. They were very, very young in the faith. And they needed a lot of instruction and a lot of guidance on how to live the Christian life. And we will see this again and again as we go through this letter, Paul's instructions to young believers how to live the Christian life. Now, we may not be young believers today, but this is God's word to us. And what Paul has written to them, of course, applies to us. Because we all need instruction in how to live the Christian life. So that's the second reason why we need to study 1 Thessalonians. In the first place, it teaches us what a Christian is. In the second place, it teaches us how to live the Christian life. The third reason, why should we study 1 Thessalonians? This letter teaches us how to deal with the death of our loved ones in the Lord. This letter teaches us how to deal with the death of a loved one in the Lord. I don't think you expected this from 1 Thessalonians, but this is one of the major passages or one of the major things this letter teaches us. I don't know what's going to happen in your life. I don't know what's going to happen in my life. But one thing I can guarantee, at some point in your life, a Christian who is very close to you will die and go to heaven. Perhaps it's a grandparent who is a lovely believer, and they will die and go and be with the Lord. Perhaps it's your parents and they're lovely believers, and they will die and go and be with the Lord. Perhaps it's a close friend in the church, somebody you've known for decades. You've been with them on holiday and you've exchanged wonderful experiences with them, and you've shared scripture and prayer times with them. A very close friend in the Lord, in the local church, in the Christian faith. Perhaps that person will die and go and be with the Lord. Perhaps it's a child. These things happen. There are Christian parents who've lost their children to accidents, to illness. And perhaps a child will die and go and be with the Lord. This is how life is on earth. All of us, at some point, we either have or we will lose a beloved one who belongs to the Lord. How do you handle the death of a Christian? Do you know, you don't handle the death of a Christian as a non-Christian would handle the death of a family member. This is one of the great lessons of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, those who are in the world, those who are not believers, those who are not saved, they handle death in a certain way. And he says to the Thessalonians, those who are in the kingdom, those who are believers, who are saved through faith in Jesus Christ, when a beloved one dies in the Lord, they handle death in a different way. There is a Christian way of handling death. And 1 Thessalonians is one of the very few books in the Bible that teaches this. Isn't that interesting? You see, it's an important thing, isn't it? And we need to know this so that when a loved one does go to be with the Lord, we do handle it in a way that brings him honor and glory. And there's a lovely passage in 1 Thessalonians, and we will go through that passage, and I promise you we're not going to rush it. We're going to go through it slowly. But there is a lovely passage in 1 Thessalonians where Paul teaches us how to handle the death of a beloved Christian. Because you see, in the church in Thessalonica, Christians died. And the church was full of young Christians. It had only been planted a few months before the letter was written. The distance in time between the church being planted and the letter being written is very short. Maybe a few weeks, certainly just a few months. So there were these young believers in Thessalonica that become Christians, and it was wonderful, they'd come to know the Lord. And then one or two members of the church died, and they didn't know how to handle death. They're young Christians, they don't know how to handle death. And so the report comes to Paul in Corinth, there have been deaths in the church in Thessalonica, and they don't know how to handle death. And Paul, in this letter, writes, there is a distinctive way for Christians to handle the death of a Christian. And he gives that teaching. I hope that whets your appetite. I doubt if you've heard this sort of thing before, unless you've heard 1 Thessalonians before. It's not something we talk about commonly, but it is a theme in this letter. So why should we study 1 Thessalonians? Firstly, it teaches us what a Christian is. Secondly, it teaches us how to live the Christian life. Thirdly, he teaches us how to deal with the death of loved ones in the Lord. And then fourthly and finally, this letter teaches us how to be ready for Christ's return. How to be ready for Christ's return. You know that the second coming of the Lord Jesus is a major theme of the New Testament. And you know that Jesus himself taught about his return. You look at the closing chapters of Matthew's gospel and you find Jesus is teaching on his second coming. You then turn to Peter's second epistle and you find Peter's teaching on the second coming. You then turn to the book of Revelation and you find John's teaching on the second coming. Well, where is Paul's teaching on the second coming? Well, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians is where Paul's teaching on the second coming is found. When you look at all this teaching, all of Paul's teaching in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians on the second coming, there is more of it than the rest of the letters put together. Paul refers to the second coming in Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Philemon, Philemon, and so on. But 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he goes into it in detail. These are the letters where Paul gives teaching on the second coming. And it's very important stuff. Because it's pastoral, it isn't just theoretical. It isn't theological lectures. Paul isn't giving his own theological views and theological ideas. Paul is being pastoral. They're a group of young Christians. And they need to know about the second coming of Christ because people have come and deceived them. People have come to them and people have said to them, Jesus has already returned. And they began to believe it. They're young Christians, you see. And they're very credible. They're credulous, rather. And so somebody came and somebody said to the Thessalonians, did you know Jesus has already returned? And they believed it. And so Paul hears about this and Paul says, I'd better write to explain to them what will happen when Jesus returns. What are the signs of his coming? What events will take place when he comes? And what will happen to believers? And what will happen to unbelievers when he comes? 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians emphasizes the second coming of Christ. This obviously is hugely important. Do you remember John's words? We who have a hope will purify ourselves. You see, that hope of heaven leads us to holiness. The second coming isn't just an academic study. It's not something for discussion among theologians and argumentation among theologians and the matter of falling out over Christians. It's a hugely significant Christian doctrine for Christian holiness. And 1 Thessalonians will teach us how we are to be ready for the second coming of Christ. So four reasons why we should study 1 Thessalonians. It's a letter that teaches us what a Christian is. It's a letter that teaches us how to live the Christian life. It's a letter that teaches us how to deal with the death of our loved ones in the Lord. And it's a letter that teaches us how to be ready for Christ's return. Well, next week we'll begin to look at the text and work our way through this rather lovely letter. It's one of my favorite letters, actually. And I trust it will be of great benefit to us.